Good morning. Thanks for joining us on Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. Events like the deaths of Freddie Gray and Eric Garner in police custody have sharpened the country's discussion of violence and race. A month ago, Ta-Nehisi Coates, a writer whose blog at theatlantic.com is destination reading for many, released his memoir, Between the World and Me. Written as a letter to his son, it expresses Coates' experience of being black in America. 6 years ago, I spoke with Ta-Nehisi about his first memoir, his understanding of race as he was growing up in Baltimore, and how he was taught by his father, Paul Coates. Among his accomplishments, Paul Coates can list service in the U.S. Army in Vietnam, work as a university librarian, activism as a Black Panther, founding and running an Afrocentric publishing house, Black Classic Press, in Baltimore, and raising 7 kids against great odds. Ta-Nehisi Coates published The Beautiful Struggle, A Father, 2 Sons, and An Unlikely Road to Manhood in 2009. And he and his father joined me in the studio to talk about that unlikely road. I asked Ta-Nehisi what made his family unique.
The thing to understand, and I guess I've learned this a lot in my work as a journalist, is that people are people. And I know what statistics say, I know what they tell you. But I think it's very important to take people as they are. My dad was always deeply committed to the idea of fatherhood and the work of fatherhood. That's a message that came across from in my earliest memories, fatherhood, fatherhood, fatherhood. And so coming up, I had no sort of sense that there was anything wrong or confusing or I guess a little different. I did have a lot of brothers and sisters, but I didn't perceive myself as particularly tragic or disadvantaged or anything. I still don't. But I had no idea that was even a thought in the world. To me, it was just family.
But looking around, you saw, I presume, most of your peers in school didn't have fathers in their lives.
Yes, I thought they were disadvantaged, not me.
Sure, but you knew right. You were different.
I did know I was different. I knew I was different because I had a father, though. I didn't know I was different because my dad had kids by 4 women.
Paul Coates, why were you so committed to being a father when so many of your peers were not?
Among my peers, fatherhood was always a big thing. Maybe there's this discussion or impression, and it may have some basis in fact that in the black community, men are not committed to being fathers. But among my peers, we were committed to families. And when I say my peers, I came up in an activist world. I came up in a world that people were committed to bring about change. Children were always a priority, no matter what the relationships were. I might be hooked up with this person last year and another person the next year. But children always were a priority, and that's why, particularly in the black activist community, the whole notion of families, tremendously important.
Was this one family you had or multiple families?
I have, to my knowledge, about 14 brothers and sisters who my father had fathered. Now, I never imagined my father as the greatest father, but the one thing that he always instilled in us was that we were brothers and sisters and not half brothers and sisters. What is a half of a person? I've never seen a half of a person. So how do you have a half brother and sister? It's either your brother or it's not your brother. It's one of those things. So in that sense, it was one family as far as they were concerned. The mothers were not of one family.
My mother, Cheryl Waters, who the book is dedicated to, was tireless. I mean, just my dad was and is great in terms of laying out the sort of intellectual theory of how your life should be. Great, great visionary. My mom was just a practitioner and made sure stuff got done. Just an instrumental force. I mean, I cannot imagine, my life without either of my parents. I shudder to think what I would have been.
There are two words that come up repeatedly in the book in capital letters, and I want to ask you about each of them. The words are conscious and knowledge. What does it mean to be conscious?
The most simple way to explain is to be aware of who you are as an African American, your history, your culture, where you live, and your conditions. And that's probably how it's applied in the book. as I've gotten older and matured, the meaning to me personally has become much larger. The idea was, if you had not read these books, if you weren't reading the paper, if you weren't keeping up with politics, you are in fact unconscious. You are not aware. You were, you know, you were almost dead mentally.
I have the impression from the book that the knowledge is something that's hard to attain, so I'm not even sure it's fair to ask you if you can summarize what the knowledge
is. Yeah, it's just short for street knowledge. And that the rules that you had to live by as a young black male to get from point A to B safely. And those two concepts are often in conflict throughout the book.
But there's a sort of a double meaning in a sense, because you were pretty spacey as a kid.
I was. I was unconscious.
And you sometimes describe yourself as an example of unknowledge in terms of not knowing
also
how to handle yourself.
Yes, I was, yes. I wanted to be about what I wanted to be about. And that actually hasn't changed much. But as a kid, you know, this was what West Baltimore was in the late 80s and the early 90s. And so I think my parents had an idea that they wanted you to go to school. They wanted you to do good in school. You had to do good in school. You know, you had to be on a track to go to college, but you also had to know how to deal with your community. You had to be bilingual. You had to be literate in multiple worlds. You had to be aware of what the bigger world was and not, you know, be limited to your block. But you also had to be able to negotiate your block also. I wasn't interested in negotiating my block. I wanted to get away from my block. I wanted to live on somebody else's block. That was the struggle for me, and I think that's one of the struggles that, you know, animates the beautiful struggle, is an ability to understand the world around me, to know what's going on when I walk down the street, to be aware, to keep my eyes open, to walk a certain way as though I have certain to be. These were rules that were very important. At the same time, being aware of the rules that you need in the broader society as you mature.
This is Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. I'm speaking with Paul Coates, founder of Black Classic Press, and Ta-Nehisi Coates, author of The Beautiful Struggle, A Father, Two Sons, and An Unlikely Road to Manhood. What surprised you in this book, Paul Coates? Was he more candid about the family than you wish he'd been?
Sheila, I'm one of those people that, you know, I live like I live. My life is pretty much an open book. And I haven't done many things in my life in terms of my relationships with my children and my relationships with the women in my life. I haven't done many things that I'm really ashamed of. There are a few, but not many. There's nothing that I wish that he had not said. There was a concern about his description of my physicalness with him. I was concerned with that.
We should explain. There's a lot of corporal punishment in this book. There are beatings with belts and other forms of physical interaction.
There is, and I've read the book several times. There is more the, for me, there isn't a lot. I thought it was a lot. I was more bothered by what I thought. But as I've read back through it, he has imagery of belts coming through the air and things like this. One of the things that I asked Ta-Nehisi was, you know, how many times, I said, gosh, I've read this thing, man. How many times, in a bad year, how many times did I beat you? Because I didn't have this memory, you know. He said, well, can you?
I said once, maybe once.
Yeah, he said once, maybe twice. I remember you saying twice, okay.
That is interesting. There's a particular year, I think your third year at Poly, where you say you only got one beating, but the impression I would have is that it was happening to you fairly often.
I know, and he said that, and you know, he warned me about that, and that's I'm sorry that comes across that way. I'm sorry, and I'm not sorry. I guess I'm not sorry. I did not fear my dad's personal anger. In other words, I wasn't afraid of my dad, you know, having a bad day. I wasn't afraid of my dad having an argument with somebody and me, you know, catching stuff because of that. I was afraid of breaking my dad's rules. I was afraid of breaking the rules in the house.
So he was your conscience.
Yeah. And you know what's funny? What's funny about how you put that? Because what happened was, as I got older, and obviously that, you know, didn't happen, in the back of my head, I was still afraid. But I wasn't afraid of my dad. I mean, my dad wasn't going to do anything. He wasn't afraid of him.
I'm here to testify you're taller than he is.
I was afraid of the rules that he had put in my head. So he was in my head saying, you better not do that because I'm going to be disappointed.
Is that the result you were trying for?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I mean, people can have their own thoughts about, you know, children and things like that. I believe in intimidation. I believe in intimidation. And I think it's like one of the strongest powers, particularly with black boys. I believe that the role of the man is to say, you do not cross this line. If you cross this line, then you have to deal with me. So in order to do that, I believe that the man has to establish himself. I know that sounds hard and harsh and all like that. I'm a product of the street, and I'm a product of seeing black boys who do cross the line every day, in which there is no force to say, you don't cross that line. You will respect this person. You will act a particular way. You will do these particular things. In my mind, Ta-Nehisi's writing, and as I said, I've read it several times, I had to back up off of the thought that he was saying I beat him so much as my presence and the possibility of him getting beat was always present. I make no apologies for that whatsoever.
You have a son who is eight years old?
Yes.
How were you raising him compared to how you were raised?
It's a different time. I think my father was a lot more afraid for his kids than I am for Samari. Now I'm a little afraid, but I think it's just a different time. You know, I was gonna say I'm a little lighter, but that's really hard to say, because I don't know that I am. I'm not sure that I am. I know I'm not the physical presence in my son's life that my dad was in mine. I'm somewhat of one, but I know I'm not to the degree that my dad was. The basic values that he was outlining, that's present in his life. So I don't know how much is different. I think there's a little less fear.
Ta-Nehisi Coates, speaking about his first memoir, The Beautiful Struggle, A Father, Two Sons, and an Unlikely Road to Manhood, in 2009, with his father, Paul Coates. Ta-Nehisi's second memoir, published last month, is Between the World and Me. We have more information about both books on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cast. Ahead on Maryland Morning, a novel inspired by Baltimore's Block. Stay with us on 88.1.